Well, I'd like to welcome everybody, to this banquet of gods. And I selected that song because I'm going to share, my title of this teaching is Hungering and Thirsting for God. And I believe that everybody is here tonight listening is because they are hungering and thirsting to know God even more than they know Him now. And they could be doing something else tonight, like this guy that was looking for, I don't know, that little story you're sharing, Barney. They could be doing something, spinning their wheels, but tonight you are all here because you want to fellowship and you want to hear God's word and get closer to Him. And so that's why I'm sharing this particular topic, hungering and thirsting for God. I'm probably preaching to the choir, but I just pray that it will be something you can take home with you tonight, even if it's just a little bit, and be able to help someone else. I read an article not too long ago by a gentleman by the name of David Butts. Poor guy with a name like that. But anyway, that didn't stop him from writing a good article. And so I wanted to share a little bit of it, take parts of it and share it with you. So it's entitled Hungering and Thirsting for God. Hunger and thirst are natural expressions of the basic human desire and need for food and water, right? One of the clear indicators that something is wrong physically is when we lose our appetite. And it's the same spiritually. To hunger and thirst for God is at the very root of our being. It is the way God made us. He designed us. Remember, God created us for one reason, and that was to know Him and to love Him and to be able to fellowship with Him. And originally, that's the way it was set up with Adam and Eve. They had a great time with God. They loved Him. Everything was perfect. And their fellowship with God was just awesome. Well, unfortunately, we know what happened to that. So when there is no hunger for the presence of God, it is an indicator that something is wrong spiritually. Because that hunger is so basic to human nature, it often finds fulfillment in other areas rather than seeking God. Much as eating unhealthy junk food can really dull our physical appetite, so that which is not of God can dull our spiritual appetite. And this happens to non-Christians as they look for happiness and fulfillment in any area except in their relationship with God. It may be in human relationships, quest for power or money, or escape to some kind of physical pleasures. It can just go on. The saddest example, however, are of Christians who allow their appetite for God to be dulled by other things. And this is one that really helped me a lot. It says even religious things can be in that category. Our churches are filled with believers who are so satiated by activities, programs, and projects that they no longer have time to, find themselves hungering for God. So many Christians today snack their way through the day on junk food activities and then find they have no time to feast with God. We complain about our busyness and we're tired. But that is typically a spiritual problem more than the problem of schedule. We desire everything except God. We take God in small doses throughout the day. Sometime throughout the week. And then we come to Sunday hoping to get our fill. Filled up to get us through the rest of the week. Well, I thought maybe we could look at some scriptures that would maybe, if not help you, or encourage you, or remind you, but maybe to help someone else that maybe is running that kind of lifestyle. So let's go to, first I'd like to turn to Psalm 63. And I'm going to give you a minute to turn. I've got everything here written down on paper, so Barney, just slap me if I get too going too fast here. And we're going to look at some scriptures which speak of developing this hunger and thirst for God. And I really wanted to start off with this one because this is from the heart of David when he was on the run from Saul. He's out in the wilderness. And in verse 1, he's saying here, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." And then I looked at this other translation. It's from the Good News Translation. And it goes like this. "Oh God, you are my God and I long for you. My whole being desires you. Like a dry, worn out, and waterless land, my soul is thirsty for you." And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you were between a rock and hard place at one point, you know? And I think that's when I really reach out for God and really, you know, cry for help. But what about the rest of the times? You know, God so designed us to fellowship with Him and to learn, as Barney shared, to trust in Him in all that we do, to walk and talk with Him, to love Him, and to know that He loves us. Well, we're going to jump to the Gospels here and hear a few things from Jesus Christ. If you go to John chapter 4. Sal did a great, this song was just awesome. And I think, you know, he covered a lot of these verses that I'm going to cover just in his song alone. In John chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst." Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, is that a great promise or what?
Yeah.
Knowing you never have to thirst. Well, we're going to do a few more here in the Gospel of John. Go to chapter 17. A spring of water welling up to eternal life. And in 17 verse 3 it says, "And this is eternal life," or life eternal, "that they may know," and that's that gnosko, that's experientially know, "that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And isn't that what we're wanting to do? Get to know them? Well, it's just a decision on our part to decide, you know, I really want to hunger and thirst for that. I need that kind of relationship. And so when you came here tonight, maybe you all came for different reasons. Maybe you had other things on your mind. Maybe you just, a lot of things going on in your mind tonight. But you decided to come here, and now you're sitting here quietly receiving because you decided to come and because you're hungry and thirsting to know what God has what He has to say to you tonight. Look at John chapter 7. And we're going to read I'm going to read verse 37-38. And he says, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. We are seeing that today in the Grace Administration. These rivers of water, spiritual water, flowing from us. All right, go back to John chapter 6. We're going to look at it one more here. In verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will, what?
Never
go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. My gosh, you know, if we would think about that whenever we're going out to work, in the day, or we're hearing the news. Thank God I don't listen to the news. But all the stuff that's going on, but if we could just come back to little simple truths like that and be reminded, you know what? God is just wanting us to come to him with that hunger, that desire to be able to get quiet and just listen to him and trust him no matter what's going on around us. I tell you, it works. It's just awesome. That's what he says. Come to me and believe. And basically, Jesus Christ, when we come to him, he shows us the way to God. He shows us the way because you think we had it bad? You think his city was in great peace at the time? No, I mean, there was a lot of crazy things going on back then.
Yeah.
And people didn't like him. People wanted him to be a king. He had all these things coming to him, five senses-wise, but he always kept his thoughts and minds on God because he knew that's where his peace was. Hey, I know we're going through a lot of hard times and stuff, but we have the peace of God.
Amen.
And we just got to continue to keep that hunger and thirst. I didn't. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 6. This is a very familiar one to a lot of you here. 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, they hunger and thirst to be justified, be righteous before God. And what is the next little bit of line there? It says, yeah, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. And we have been filled in this administration. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Do we today have to hunger and thirst for righteousness? God says we have been made righteous. Mm-hmm. And in verse 30, that's what it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God has satisfied our every need. Just a very simple thing. If we would just reach out and claim it. You know? It's been like that through all the scriptures. Just hunger and thirst for it, God will be there to fill it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is obvious that the imagery of hungering and thirsting after God is a scriptural concept. From the prophets of old, the Old Testament, to Jesus, on through to Revelation, the people of God are depicted as those who have developed a desire for God. Could it be that the missing element in the church today is that desire for God in himself? No, I'm just saying. Could it be? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I notice it doesn't talk a lot about in the church epistles about hungering and thirsting, as Jesus was instructing them. But the hunger and thirst has got to be there, people, if you're ever going to tap into the things that we've been given. Mm-hmm. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, as newborn babes, desire, long for the sincere milk of the Word. Why? Because it's the Word that makes known God in Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. It's the Word of God that teaches us how to receive Holy Spirit so we can have that one-on-one fellowship with God 24/7. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow, that you may grow. It's a growing process. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I also wrote down Walter Cumming's translation. This is how he puts it. Yearn for the Word of God as newborn babies. Yearn for authentic, unadulterated milk, so that by it you may grow up unto salvation or deliverance, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. You tasted it. I don't remember when I first got born again, because I grew up off and on in the church, but until I finally had someone teach me how to get born again, I saw the greatness of it. You know what that was like, right? The excitement, the thrill, and we should have that excitement all the time, just growing and growing more and more. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And then we were to grow up unto salvation, that wholeness of body, soul, mind, spirit. You know, it's a growing process, all areas of our life. God has so designed it for us that there's no limit. This gentleman here, Ben Patterson, he wrote in this book, his book, Deepening Your Conversation with God. He writes, we have become satisfied with mere church, mere religious exertion, mere numbers and buildings, the things that we can do. There is nothing wrong with these things, but they are no more than foam left by the surf on the ocean of God's glory and goodness. Yeah. So how then can we begin or for most of us, continue to develop that hunger for God? If we find ourselves lacking in desire, can it be rekindled within us? Perhaps the best way to look at this is to again make a comparison to physical hunger and the way we handle it. When we get hungry, many of us begin to look for something to appease the hunger, right? Here in our country, if we are at work, we may head to a snack, one of those snack machines down the hall. Or if we were at home, we'd go to the cupboard or the refrigerator, looking for a snack that will take away the feeling of hunger. Hunger prompts us to seek something to fill us up. And even if it is something that is not really good for us. I'm a victim. I'm not a victim. I do it. I'm guilty. Ask Jeanette. She knows I love little treats. All right. It may not be good for me, but it does kill the appetite. Now, spiritually speaking, there is a hunger for God that is often not recognized for what it is. It may be an empty feeling, a sense of longing, or even loneliness in the midst of people. It can go on and on, but we start looking for ways to make the feelings go away, to fill up that emptiness. In a sense, we begin to look for the junk food that will mask the pangs of hunger within. The danger of this type of behavior is that we dull our senses of hunger for God. In the same way that continued snacking through the day can dull our appetite and cause us to pass up the good, nutritious meals that our body needs, So we can fill up our schedules and desire to the point that we do not even realize that we are no longer desiring the presence of God. So to truly satisfy or restore that hunger for God, perhaps we may need to reevaluate our lifestyle to see what we are feeding on spiritually. God has not changed, you know. He's just waiting for us. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here, so, you know, bear with me on this, but I just know that there are times in my life, and I've been in the Word for quite a few years now, I'm still swayed by my emotions and the five senses, things that are going on around me. But it's just one day at a time, one step at a time, you know. And tell yourself, you know what? I'm just going to continue to hunger and thirst to know my God. And when something comes up, I'm not going to say, you know, well, this is crap. I'm going to say, you know, God, what are we going to do? Practice the presence of God. I'd like to close in Isaiah 55. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Again, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And this is from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me." In other words, just don't blow it off. I added that part. Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, which is the profuseness of spiritual joy. So, brothers and sisters out there, may hungering and thirsting for God drives us to a passionate, relentless pursuit of our relationship with Him, okay? Love you guys.
Amen. Thank you, Joe.